level 1, level 2, and a rate or a flow going from here to here. So this is a stock and flow diagram. Now if you express this in terms of causal relations, cause and effects, then the rate is influencing both the level 1 and the level 2. And the rate has the rate level 2 relation has positive polarity. The bigger the rate, the more level 2 increases, and the opposite. The smaller the value of the rate, the slower the level 2 increases. Whereas the polarity from rate to level 1 is negative. The bigger the rate is, the quicker level 1 empties, becomes less. So you have a negative polarity. Okay, now back to this model. If we look at it in Vensim, the equations that you need are the following. Yes? Yes, thank you. We now look at Vensim. Yes. So the equations that you need, the equations you can get here, table. No, not table, but documentation. Document. All variables. Documents. So, choosing the unit of time months, you should choose 100 months. So, that means here in the model settings, you select month, and here from 0 to 100. Then, the variable for the number of hackers we script I don't see it here. Oh yeah, I see that the way I did it is that I initialized that with this variable here. So that means that if we put model settings, sketch, show initial causes on the model diagram, then you get here a gray arrow going from initial hackers with script to hackers with script and to hackers without script. And then hackers with script is initialized with the number initial hackers with script, which is this one. Initial hackers with script, as you can see here, is 1. So I have given this one the variable 1, the value 1. The units, I introduced the unit hackers for that. So distances you measure in meters, and hackers you measure in hackers. Okay? Then the other level is initialized from the number of hacker in a hacker community. And if you look at the documentation, hackers without script is the hacker community minus the number of initial hackers with script. So instead of putting a hacker community has the value 1,000, I assume we have 1,000 hackers. So instead of putting 999 here, I put 1,000 minus what is here. The advantage of using names for that is if I change later the model, for instance, if I have more hackers that initially have a script, or if I want to consider a higher hacker community, I don't need to go into the definition of the levels and change, I can use it here. And then finally, effect of vulnerable host on adoption of scripting. There you can put any number. Later it will be computed from somewhere. But here I give it the value 0.15. So the bigger this number, that means the more the hackers I attracted because they are targets to attack. So in a sense, it is how attractive it is for the hackers to choose these targets to attack. And not every hacker will decide to concentrate on this particular vulnerability. Some other hackers will perhaps be occupied with other vulnerabilities or other kinds of attacks. So this number is simply a way of indicating how popular this vulnerability is for the hackers. So once you put this, then the equation adoption of scripting, this one, is, and I will make this a bit bigger by running that in Word. So this is the equation that defines the rate of adoption of scripting. And it is proportional to how many people that already have the script. Because they are the people who are making that popular. It is like in the virus infection, the number of infection is proportional to how many who is infected. So if the infection here is the adoption of the script, this is proportional to how many people who are infected, this one. Then it is proportional to the quotient, the ratio of hackers without script divided by the number of hacker communities. So let me break it like this. What happened? That's not what I wanted. Why this quotient here? Because this quotient tells you as to how many that, what is the percentage of people who still can be attracted to scripting. So that is the number of hackers that still don't have the script relative to the total size of the hacker community. Exactly as in the virus model, where the equation was proportional to the number of uninfected PCs divided by the total number of PCs. And finally, you have a factor which tells you how attractive it is to adopt the script. For this particular attack. That is kind of like the infection probability that we had before. So if you put all these names, these values for the variables, then you get a model that you can simulate. And you have the similar behavior as for the virus epidemic. First, an increase that is nearly exponential, that then becomes weaker, and then finally it approaches asymptotically the total number of hackers in the hacker community. That was the red curve, which is hackers with scripts, for the file simulation file name, which I call Hackers 1. This will be developed in several steps. Hackers 1 is this model. Hackers 2 will be more advanced, and so on, and we will do that together. And then the blue curve is the number of hackers without the script that decreases over time, whereas the green curve is the adoption of scripting, which starts low and then it increases. This diagram has been designed using the control panel. So if you go to graphs, I have this graph here, and you can see that I have put in the three variables. Here, by some reason, I chose Y maximum 400. I think this is too high. So if I put 100 only, that becomes more visible. Still, I could put 50 as a maximum value here. That allows me to scale, to determine the scale of the y-axis for this one. So perhaps this is a bit more beautiful. And I can, if I like, use the sliders to modify that. And I have two feedback loops, new soft scripting, which is recruiting new hackers to the script, and the depletion of naive hackers. Naive hackers are those that do not have the script, and that means they have only a possibility of doing the attack by developing their attack themselves, which is kind of naive or simple. Any questions? Okay. Now, if we want to improve the model, then we have to include the targets. The targets we call the hosts, which is simply the systems that are connected in the internet and can be attacked. I will explain the logic of this, and then I will like you to develop this model yourself. Also, it should be quickly, then I give you the numbers. That is actually, before I go so far, I wanted to show you one thing I mentioned before. So let's make a little break. Let's go to Vensim. Or perhaps to this other Vensim here. And I'm going to upload a model of the virus epidemic that one student had problems in understanding. So I open that. And that is come on, that's really slow. Okay, I got this model. I got the question, why do I get this error message, floating point overflow, saving to time 27? That is, at time 27, an overflow means floating point, means something becomes very, very big. And indeed, you can see that here. In this model, the number of infected PCs escalate to 10 up to the 25th power. So something is wrong. And I got an email, and I said, okay, if you get a floating point overflow, then most probably you are dividing by zero. Let me make this a bit more visible here. And the student answered, no, I have checked all the equations, and they are as they should be. I have compared with the equations that you had in the guideline, which I had submitted, and they look the same. And I thought that was very strange, so I asked the student, send me your model. And indeed, I went and checked first the equation for the virus infection, and it looked exactly as it should be, no division by nothing, so there could be no division by zero. So how do you debrief a model that is misbehaving? Well, one way of debriefing this is using the causes strip, which is this one here. You select first the variable, virus infection, it's selected, then you go to the causes strip, and in this diagram, you see the variable, virus infection, and whatever is influencing it. And they are the variables that are linked with that. So it's telling me also the variables, contacts between PCs, and the proportion of uninfected PCs is exploding, both of them. Which means that both the contacts and the proportion are becoming too big. Okay? So this is too big, and this is too big. Then you can choose to look at both equations. I look at this, and I look okay. Then I look at this, and I look okay. So then what I did is again choose the causes strip, and now applying to the proportion of uninfected PCs, which is selected. This is the proportion of uninfected PCs, it is exploding, and the uninfected PCs is also increasing. So this level that should be becoming less and less and less was actually growing. Okay? Then I had the suspicion something is wrong here. So I look at this definition, and there I saw it is virus infection with a plus sign. So this cannot be correct. So the solution is putting a minus sign here and simulating. And now it's okay. The only thing I don't quite understand is why here the boxes have disappeared. Perhaps that's the reason why the student got the problem that he didn't have originally boxes. So the problem was the sign in this one. Still, I am a bit surprised why there are no boxes. So if we select this one, it says clear box. It should be not a clear box. So perhaps that's what happened, that the student originally started with a normal variable, and then it made it a level instead of making it level to begin with. Okay? Any questions? No questions? So now let's go back to the here. And let me explain the idea of this model. Or perhaps you could try to understand the model, what it is. I will give you a few hints, then you can think for a couple of minutes. So here are the guys who will attack. But we are also interested in how many targets that they exist, because they are crucial. Once all the targets that can be attacked are patched, then the hackers will divert their attention to something else. So we need for this model the number of hosts that still have an unpatched vulnerability and the number of hosts that have a patched vulnerability. And the distinction, the terminology is vulnerable hosts. They are vulnerable because they have the vulnerability. Hardened hosts, they don't have the vulnerability. How do you remove the vulnerability? Well, because of the patch. When the vulnerability is discovered, then a patch, a protection was created. The problem was many systems didn't patch. So what determines the patching? What would you think that the patching is determined? Suppose you yourself are responsible for some system, say the university system or whatever, or here in Jövik. So you are responsible for that. You are in the IT department, you have a lot of things to do. Every day you get information, here's a new vulnerability, here's the patch implemented, but you are very, very busy because somebody comes and say the microphone is not working or whatever. So how do you behave? Well, it depends. Think of two people. Think of those who are proactive and those who are reactive. What is the proactive going to do? Suppose you are proactive. You have heard there is a new vulnerability around. What do you do? No, the patch you have got. You have the patch, but it takes time to install and so on. So you have the patch. And now you have two options. Suppose you are proactive. What do you do if you are proactive?
I will install a patch.
Yes. So you will install the patch. If you are proactive, they will install the patch. Even if you have a lot of work, you think this is so important, I will even work overtime this evening and I install the patch. Now suppose you are not proactive. What do you do?
I delay that for some extent.
How much time?
In best case for the next day, in worst case for a few weeks.
Well, no, if you are completely reactive, you will neglect that and you will only patch after you are infected. Okay? So, you have two processes. Those who will patch in time, maybe they are not very quick, but this will be described by some rate, by some number, telling of the speed of the average users. But others will only patch after they got the intrusion. They have, first of all, to clean the system, and then patch. So you have basically two things. You have those who patch before they attack, and those who patch after they have been attacked. And that's what this model should do. For the time being, if you look at this model here, if you look at model, if you look at this, this model is disconnected from this. So in principle, what I am telling you is, add this model, even if it is not connected to this. On the same sheet where you have the first model, I would like you to add this one. And so you have a level, vulnerable host, another level, the hardened host, and there goes a rate, which you call patching. And patching is due to two different processes. One, which goes proactively, according to some number here. The fractional patching rate is a number that tells you the speed. It is the inverse of the time. You could actually put the time there, but then the equation will be opposite. Instead of multiplying, you would divide by something. And then you have another one, which is you have intrusions. And these intrusions, every system that is intruded will ultimately be patched. If you are intruded, then you have no choice. You have to first to stop the system, clean it, and then you patch, because you have learned. And we assume that the number of intrusions you model as the more vulnerable hosts that there are, the more intrusions. That's obvious. If you have only 10 vulnerable nodes, that's much less, will lead to much less attacks and intrusions than if you have 100 million. So this variable is important, and this you compute as the number of vulnerable hosts divided by the number of hosts. The numbers I will give you later. The other thing is how many attacks that come. For the time being, we assume some constant number. Later, this will be connected to this. And then also the probability that the attack is successful. Not all attacks succeed. So could you please create this model? And then I give you the numbers. So I think you are now quite fast in doing this. You will probably do that in 5 minutes. Yes?
Can you just show in Vensim how to put minus and plus sign in the flow?
You mean in the flow or here inside?
No.
Oh, this? Oh, okay, yes. This you do. You do it like this. First, select the move size. And then you see this little circle here. You right click on that, and then you select the plus, yeah? And similarly, you right click on this one, and select the minus. Okay? Okay, is it working? You hear the microphone? Yes. Okay. So how far are you with this? Do you have this model?
Yes.
Okay. So the numbers that you need to make these are attacks, 300 attacks per month, 300, so maybe I can put that here. Probability of successful attack 0.3. And since it's a probability, it has no unit, dimensionless also. The number of hosts. 1 million. The number of harnessed hosts originally 0. And because all the hosts are vulnerable, there should be 1 million here. Which means that again, I will have in the settings show the initial causes, and then you will see these gray arrows that indicate that this is initialized by this, and then you have you see here the others arrow going here gray. So the vulnerable host will be the number of hardened hosts, the number of hosts minus the number of hardened hosts. In this way it's initialized. And then the equation for patching, two processes as we agreed. Patching so as I said proactively, so your patch according to some speed, and that's proportional both to the number of vulnerable hosts and the speed of patching, and then you patch for each intrusion. This is proactive, this is reactive. Every host that has been attacked and intruded will patch, learning the hard way, but some others will patch with some speed, which is dictated by the fractional patching rate. Okay, so even if you haven't finished this model here, I think you could finish that later. So make a note of these equations, of these values, and finish your model a little bit later. Because now I will to spend the last 6 minutes before the recording stops to telling you what happens next. And then after, when we close in, I have programmed the recording to go until 3:45, then if you like you can continue a little bit and finish the model for the time being. So going now to the here, slide 169. If you simulate it, then you will see that this very simple model leads to the number of vulnerable hosts decaying, and the number of patching is also decaying, because originally there's a lot to patch and then less and less and less. But the patching process comes from two processes. First one, proactively, which depends on the number of vulnerable hosts and the speed of patching for those who patch proactively. And then the others who patch from the every time they are intruded, they learn the hard way, and there you have a balancing loop. Now, things start getting interested in the next version of the model, which I will continue developing tomorrow. But I will explain the logic of what comes so that you can prepare yourself. Now the two models are connected. First of all, you can see here the effect of vulnerable hosts on the adoption of scripting. As I said, the patchers like success. If they are hosts that they can attack, then that makes it attractive for them to attack. So the more hosts that are vulnerable and can be attacked, the bigger the speed of the adoption of scripting, because it is attractive to take the script and use it. On the other hand, this will mean that the number of targets will start decreasing. Now, the number of attacks will not be constant as in the previous model. It will depend on how many hackers that have script and how often per time they launch the attacks. So we will connect this in this way. What we will need to do this model is some way of devising such effect depending on the fraction of vulnerable hosts. This I will explain tomorrow, but maybe I can have an advanced look at the Venzi model. If I now load the version 3, there will be 4 versions. Okay, so this here will be some equation that I will explain tomorrow. Otherwise, I don't see here anything that is requires a new thing. But then, in the fourth version of the model, here it shows how this behaves, and we are starting to see the hump in this model that we wanted to explain, but it is not completely correct because we are still lacking something, and that is the new thing that we will learn tomorrow is the following. Okay, intrusions are occurring. But in order to model this, we would assume that even those who patch proactively will do that with a speed that is not constant. Rather, it will depend on how they perceive the threat. And if you look here at what I am pointing at, we will need to distinguish between the actual number of intrusions and the perception of the intrusions. Why? Because nobody is seeing reality immediately. So if you are the chief security officer of an organization, you may hear weeks later about what the situation is, because this needs to be published. Perhaps you get an alert, and even that alert demands that people have been studying the facts and discovering that something is going on. So we need the mechanism to model the perception of something that is happening. Perception is always a delayed process because it requires getting the information, understanding the information, and for these guys who are the security officers in different companies to get reports about that. So here, this points to a topic that I will deal with tomorrow, which is delayed processes. We have been speaking about delays in connection with the system archetypes, but so far we didn't have a way of modeling the delays. This is what I am going to do tomorrow as the first thing. So here we have the motivation for this model, to finish the model, to model how time delays occur in practice. And we will see there are two kinds of time delays. They are the delays that relate to processing information, getting the data, understanding, digesting it, communicating it, or whatever. And then the other process that has to do with the transport of materials. When you transport materials, they go from one hub to the other, accumulate, decrease, depending on how many hubs there are. So that's going to be to take some time tomorrow, because that's a very important topic. And then we can go back to this and finish the model. Okay? So now I will stop for today the lecture. But if you like, you could now finish the model version 2 and perhaps even the model version 3. In the model version 3, I have a number of equations that I am going to put in. Wait a moment. You cannot make model version 3 because there is another thing. Do I have still time to show that? Maybe. I don't find it yet where it is. Maybe it's in the model version 4 where I have it. Let me see. Model version 4. No, I don't need to explain it now. It seems that I haven't used that. Okay, then you can concentrate on version 3.